Good morning. I would like to bring you a message on the gospel as we continue with our series as we deal here with the coronavirus and the impact and the hope of the gospel and the necessity of the gospel. I want to bring you each and every day a message of the gospel, at least for the next couple of weeks. So this is a commitment that I make unto you. I've been reading out of Psalms, out of the book from 90 up through 106 is its own section. But I have a message today that's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, that has to do with the false prophets and the hope that we have as these prophets of Baal are exposed. Our reading is from Isaiah chapter 44, verse number 6 through 8. This is what the Lord, the King of Israel and its Redeemer, the Lord of hosts says. I am the first and I am the last. There is no God but me. He is the one and only true God, our Savior. He's the one that sits upon a throne with all power in his hands. He is the one who executed the judgment of the coronavirus on this world. But I see it, as I hope that you also do, as much more than a judgment. It is an opportunity. It is a mercy from God our Savior that he would take the time and that he would have the patience with us to reprove us and to rebuke us and to empty us of all of our self-righteousness and our pride. That's the message that I have been bringing from the book of James, the message that actually Brother James brings, and I'm just relaying it, that he and you ought not to think that today and tomorrow I'll do this, that, and the other. But we ought to say, if the Lord wills, because all of our boasting is sin. It's all pride. And that God has actually humbled us. And he's made us to see, my brothers, that we are but men. Is a good thing. It's a mercy to tell a man he has cancer. It's a mercy to have some pain in your back so that you can get the surgery. It's a mercy and to have your tooth hurt so that you can have it fixed. It's a mercy to see the sign in the road that says stop, there's danger before you go over the cliff. And so God wants me and you to see and to realize that there is no God except him. He says in verse 7, who is like me? Who like me can announce the future? This is one of the ways that God deals with the false prophets and the idols. Is he reveals that only he is capable of speaking the future and bringing it to pass. There's a man named Kenneth Copeland, a false prophet. He said he had a dream, or he was watching television, or he was actually watching Kenneth Hagin on video. And then the Lord spoke to him, and he grabbed his pen, he wrote it down, and then he read in front of his crowd the prophecy that he said he got from the Lord. And the Lord, in some very general way, he misspelled the name of the disease. And then the Lord, and I hope you hear my sarcasm, but the Lord said that this disease, the COVID-19, would not last as long as people think. Whoever heard of such a God who prophesies something so general that anybody who thinks it could happen in a shorter period of time, is that a year? Is that a month? Is that a decade? Is that a week? But this prophecy is so general because he did not hear from God. And he doesn't want to go out on the limb and say 3 days or a month or a week, because he doesn't have any power. And he's just a fraud. And he's able to prophesy nothing. But he says, let him say so and make a case before me, since I have established an ancient people. Let these gods declare the coming things and what will take place. But they cannot do it. And the one thing I have seen, my brothers and sisters, about these false prophets, these decreers and declarers, are so bold in good times. All of them told you prophecies of good as this new year began. And it's been remarked that not one of them saw the coronavirus coming. It's almost like the fortune teller who never plays the lottery, but is able to tell you about your fortune if you give her some money. She's able to look into that crystal ball, ask you a few questions, and to lead you away with your money in her pocket and your hope and your optimism placed in her words. It's the same on today with the tithe takers, with the soothsayers, with these prophets of lies and of Baal, who take money off their people, who lift out of their pockets, who take from them, but they never give any true hope in the gospel. It's always a false hope. It's always a lie. It's always a prophet saying, I see somebody here getting rich, and he's talking to 1,000 people, but he doesn't have anything definite to say. I had a false prophet. I was preaching somewhere. This was in Lagos. And the prophet, after I had preached the gospel, he stood up and preached his nonsense. But in his prophecy time, he stood up and he said, now you put your hand on your ailment as to what's wrong with you. And on the way home, somebody is going to get healed. And that is quite convenient. Out of the public eye, so it cannot be proved. But it was a man who had an obviously twisted arm, and he did not put his hand on his arm. And the false prophet did not have anything to say when I confronted him afterwards in this man's presence and said, you see his arm? Can you heal him? You promised healing. Work your miracle. Show your power. And if you listen closely, if you listen wisely, if you and I observe, if you open your eyes, you will see that all along they've been prophesying absolutely nothing. It doesn't come to pass. It's very general. It is no miracle in their power. It's all a fraud. It's all a scam. It's all a lie. It's all to deceive you. And to lift your money and to give you and me false confidence if we take it. But it's of Satan. It's not from God. When God speaks, it is real. And he says in verse number 8, do not be startled or afraid. Have I not told you and declared it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God but me? There is no other rock. I do not know any. So you and I were not to be afraid of these false prophets. We're not to pay them any attention. We're not to pay them any reverence. But the true preachers of the Word of God are standing up right now in a way that can be heard. They are saying, all along I've been telling you the truth, that the Bible is not talking about physical miracles, but miracles of spiritual healing of the soul. And when the scripture says in 1 Peter 2, by his stripes you are healed, is not talking about the coronavirus. He's talking about the healing of our breach with God. That we're no longer cursed by God. We're no longer under the wrath of God because of sin. It doesn't mean I'll be healthy, but it means I will live forever. It means I've been healed in my soul and I'm able to live righteously. I'm at peace with God. So don't unbelieve what these false prophets say. The Almighty God has given us a chance to repent. There's some space here. And I know that this is hard to hear for some of you who have been trusting in lies, but I told you so. Others have told you so. I told you that these prophets have no power whatsoever, and you ought not to listen, but now they're afraid. They hide behind. Do you think that Kenneth Hagin is whole? I mean, that Kenneth Copeland, as old as he is going to go into Italy and risk the coronavirus that's killing older people? No, he's not. He'll prophesy through his television screen, but I guarantee you, you put him in the room with some people who have this contagious virus, and he will want to get out. He'll sweat bullets, and he ought to. He ought to be scared, because his ministry will come to an end very soon. And he'll face God in his wrath if he does not repent. And you who have put your confidence in him and in others, you need to quit it. You need to get out. You need to escape from the wrath to come and put your faith in Christ. The kingdom's not of this world, my friend. You and I need to live for God's glory. We don't need to use Christ to make us rich. Our life is not our own. To him it belongs. Our life's not about money, it's not about children, it's not about family, it's not about being happy, it's not about being healthy, it's not about being wealthy. Our life's about the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's living to make the gospel known. It's bringing sinners unto Christ. And if that's not the life you're interested in, whether rich or poor, whether sick or healthy, you can't be saved. There is no other life you can live. There is no other salvation. If you will, is what the leper said, you can make me clean. And to be made clean and to be made whole is to be upright with God in your standing, and is to live to make the gospel known. If you want any other life, you're going to hell. You're going to pay for your sin. You're going to suffer for the wrath of God. But if you want to live for God's glory, if you want to be holy, if you want to live to the honor of the gospel, if you want to bring men to Christ, if you want to be made well, then rise. Take up your bed and walk. He forgives you. He receives you. He gives you grace. He has mercy on you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will come unto you in mercy if you come unto him in repentance. Let your laughter be turned unto sorrow. That's a good message for me and you in this day, to quit our boasting and all of our vain pride and submit to God. Because he gives grace unto the humble, but he resists the proud. And resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. And cleanse your hands, sinners. Don't be scared of that term, sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded people. You've been living for yourself in unbelief. You've been living for your glory. You've been living for you. Be miserable and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be changed to mourning and your joy to sorrow. It's okay in this day. of the coronavirus, to humble yourself before the Lord, and He will exalt you. So I ask you to do that. I ask you to listen. I ask you to pay attention. For the glory of God in Jesus Christ is to save your soul by this great adversity, this conflict of the coronavirus being used by God to save you, to help you, to bring you near unto Christ, and to give you, poor Christian, O child of God, the responsibility, the duty, the privilege, and the power to be fearless in the face of death. Are you a Christian who's scared to die? I ask you, why is that? And I challenge you to live for Christ. If your life is not your own, if you're truly alive to bring glory unto Christ, no matter what it costs, as long as you do His will from your heart by the power of His Spirit, then to die is gain. But if to live is Christ is not there, you can't contemplate death without fear, anxiety, and regret, and shame. So I ask you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for real. And remember these false prophets who prophesy you nothing specific, who can do no real miracle, who don't speak in tongues, who can't heal anybody. I've been exposed by the coronavirus. Their skirts have been lifted up, and God has made them to be naked and ashamed in the plain eyesight of us all. Are you willing to see? Are you willing to flee from the wrath that is to come? Announce the future, or be quiet forever, every one of you false prophets, and flee these false prophets, children of God, and proclaim the truth in these dark days with light in Israel, with hope in Israel, with optimism in the people of God, with an understanding, with peace, with joy, with fearlessness, and with boldness that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.